You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and here with me live, we are here again at the Progressive Field Dining Room, myself and Jordan Bastian, our favorite place to meet and do podcasts.
Yeah, this is great. We had some good fajitas on Memorial Day today.
Says celebrate America like bad Mexican food.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was good. I'm always going to be the optimist here. It was okay. We'll go with okay. But not what I was expecting on Memorial Day.
No, not what you'd expect. But
we'll to grill later.
Listen to this. You also wouldn't expect the Indians to get this hot based on what we saw the first month plus of the season.
Nice segue.
Thank you very much.
That's why you're a pro.
You, Jordan Bastian, have been off for a week plus.
Mm-hmm.
You have been, taking care of business at home, not writing up your daily reports on the tribe, and lo and behold, the Indians get hot. So, I guess...
It was me.
First thing is to say thank you for not showing up for a while.
Right.
And the next thing is, what do you think of what's going on here? Is this more the team you expected to see?
You know, I think so, mainly because we're seeing... Not that we didn't really see a lot of great starting pitching early on, but it was definitely some inconsistency there. And I think the starting rotation, from what I've gathered during my staycation... the starting pitching's really been taking off. Kluber's pitching like Kluber again. Since that unreal 18 strikeout game, you know, he's been pretty incredible and steady, and Trevor Bauer's been steady, and Salazar's looked strong, and all of a sudden low run support holds up a little bit. But that said, the offense has been coming around in May, I think near the middle to upper third of the MLB leaderboard in a lot of categories this month. A lot of that's because of the move of Jason Kipnis to the top and Michael Brantley doing his thing. So it's been good to see this team kind of coming together more of what we expected. I think what will be interesting to see is if this long stretch of good starting pitching kind of has provided a little bit of a respite for that bullpen, which got worn out so early and was kind of a big problem. So hopefully going forward, this great stretch here of starting pitching can benefit the bullpen in the coming weeks, month.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, I say this is the team we expected to see because we expected to see a team guided by its starting pitching,
right,
which has, of course, been excellent. And you see there does seem to be more confidence in that lineup that, they're going to get those starts consistently. And, it's not the exact rotation we expected to see. With Sean Markham, for instance, pitching today, but, they've had that pass-the-baton kind of feel to them, for sure.
Yeah, and, they lose Gavin Floyd and kind of had some issues with that fifth spot, but maybe Sean Markham can come in and give them kind of what they hope to get from Gavin Floyd, be that the performance on the mound or that veteran presence in the clubhouse, a guy that's been through the gauntlet of the AL East when it was a much stronger division than it seems to be now. And he pitched pretty well for the Blue Jays back then. So we'll see what he can give. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to blow you away on the radar gun or anything like that, but can hopefully solidify the back end just on experience alone, knowing how to pitch, as they say. It's been good to see some of those things turn around for this team. And I think the return of Yan Gomes will be a big plus for this pitching staff. I think just seeing him in that dugout, in the lineup, and behind the plate, just that alone can be a lift for this team.
Yeah, being around here pregame pretty frequently and watching Gomes' progression, very early on you got the sense that this was going to be on the early side of the 6 to 8 week, the original timetable they gave. He was doing a lot of work very quickly, more than you'd expect for an injury that significant.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that just speaks to his character.
Yeah,
this is a guy that I think we saw from the moment he was called up. Carlos Santana was pretty entrenched, and he worked hard and ran away with the starting role, and a guy that maybe in Toronto felt, maybe he came out of Toronto with a chip on his shoulder, but since we've seen him here in Cleveland, it's been a very take-charge mentality, both of the pitching staff, of his hitting and of his work behind the scenes. You know, I think you saw some of those attributes contributing to the Indians investing in him over that long-term deal. So I think everything we saw from him when he was active, we also saw it throughout that rehab. And yeah, I mean, considering the nature of the injury, you know, I think it was a little surprising to see how hard he was pushing, but then you could see all that work he'd put in was paying off because right. he was bouncing back strong, and I think got here faster than anybody had expected, and I didn't expect him to be catching his first game back. I thought they'd ease him in with some DH games.
Right.
They threw him right in there, and you know, Bauer pitched great. Indians got that win, and you know, he goes 0-for-4, but again, I think you still can see the impact he has behind the plate in the dugout. And just knowing that that threat of another right-handed bat is in that lineup is good for this team.
And it seems like the only thing left to be seen is what can he tolerate from a workload standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, how many days in a row and how often does... but that's one of the things where Terry Francona has been strongest with this in his time here in Cleveland is rotating guys and giving them the time when they need it. You know, you look at... There's not much durability in today's game in general. Nobody's playing 162 anymore, but mm-hmm. This team has been especially proactive at making sure guys get the rest when they need, and I'm sure that'll be the case going forward with Gomes.
Yeah, and I mean, he's had to do that, the mixing and matching to this point, not only because of Gomes, but Lonnie Chisenhall has struggled, and he's a left-handed hitter, and then at shortstop you've had Jose Ramirez going up and down, and almost as a switch hitter, you know, he's been better from one side and not as great from the other, so you're trying to mix in Mike Avila's at short and at third, and then Avila's had to take time off for his family, and it's just there's been so many factors. Michael Bourne, the struggles out of the gates, he was benched for a while, and you know, so I think you gotta again tip your cap to Tito for, you know, mixing and matching, trying to squeeze as much out as he can of this lineup and this group, because I mean that's what this Cleveland team has to do, because they don't have that one thumper in the middle that's going to just, you know, put the lineup on his shoulders and carry the team, although, you know, we've seen Kipnis try to do that in the month of May. I think Francona deserves a lot of credit for getting the most out of what he's had to work with over not just this season but the last two.
Pending player of the month, right? Jason Kipnis. He's got to be player of the month.
I mean, I would think so. He was player of the month when he hit .419. What's he hitting this month? .456
at the moment.
Oh, it's down to .456. He's slumping.
He hasn't had an inning off so far this season.
No, I mean, he's been incredible. And I think, again, I mean, he went through a little bit of a funk out of the gates, and everyone was starting to wonder what was going on. And we saw it in that June of 2013. I mean, when he gets on a hot streak, he can turn a hot month into a good season. You know what I mean? And I think we're seeing that right now. And it came, obviously, at the right time because this team really needed some sort of boost, especially offensively. And, you know, I think moving him, I think we talked about this before, you know, we saw it with Chu when they moved him to the leadoff spot a couple years ago. You know, all of a sudden he took off. I think we're seeing a little bit of the similarities there with Kipnis setting the tone. And we haven't really seen Santana thrive in that number two spot. But obviously, I like that combination of Kipnis, Santana, and Brantley, the top three.
I actually know the secret to Jason Kipnis's. Well, I don't know if it's been going on all month, but I know I have good authority here.
Got good intel?
I got good intel.
Okay.
Saturday, he had the game-winning hit to back Corey Kluber against the Reds.
Right.
And I happen to know... I don't know if I should be revealing this on the podcast. I don't know if I'm revealing inside baseball here, but
breaking news.
I happen to know that Jason Kipnis had breakfast at the original Pancake House that morning.
That morning.
And when he came up to bat, I said to the people I'm watching the game with, I said, he's about to get a big hit here because he's got pancake power.
Pancake power.
And then he delivered the double.
It's all in the batter. Oh, man. On that note.
But there's just another plug. There's another company that should be
sponsored
this podcast.
Not sponsored by Pancake.
The original Pancake House. And got to go to the original. Don't go to any of the knockoffs, which I don't even know what they are. Well, I do. Waffle House does pancakes too, right? Can you get pancakes at the Waffle House?
You know, when I'm in spring, I'm a Black Bear Diner guy. I don't go to the Waffle House.
I'm just not a breakfast guy in general. I like a bowl of
Special K. I can't believe I do this podcast with you.
Yeah. All right, what else do you want to talk about, Jordan? You've been gone a long time. Do you feel like caught up? Do you feel like you know what's going on around here?
No, I mean, that first game back is always, I mean, you remember what it was like on the beat, man. If you take one day off,
right.
You return and you feel lost. I had 10 days off, which is extremely rare during the season. I had text messages, people asking me if I retired. Tito asked me if I had quit. I think I was just doing my part, trying to get this team going. You know, I thought maybe it was my face in that clubhouse that was, you know, maybe I was the cancer.
Yeah.
So I left, you know, but I brought the family to the game on Sunday. So I was in the stands, and they won. I wanted to ease myself back into it.
Yeah.
I was in attendance. I was there.
Yeah.
So they won with me back. So I thought, okay, it's good. I can return now. You know, they can't blame me.
Right. Right. It's a good thing when you bring the family and, mm-hmm. and you have a good experience.
Right.
I got to bring my 5-month-old daughter to her first game, and they played in 2.5 hours, and they won. And I think that's going to instill fanship in her, even though...
She lasted the whole game?
She lasted... Yeah, until the exact last out, and then she started to just cry uncontrollably. She was hungry. So, good timing for the Tribe with that win, and, you know, it's been a good time here lately. The division, it seemed like it could get away from them very quickly this season, and who knows, maybe it has. Maybe this is too little too late in that regard, but I will say that the Tigers have shown some vulnerability with their offense, that the Royals have... It's a definite vulnerability in their starting rotation right now. So who knows? Maybe it's maybe they're on the rise here. What do you think?
I mean, beginning of the year, everyone kind of just basically named 4 teams in the Central and forgot about the Twins.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be a 4-team race. Those upstart White Sox and the Royals and Tigers and the Indians are on Sports Illustrated. And, oh, yeah, there's that other team there, too. And they're in, what, second place right now? The Twins?
Yeah. I believe going
so
in the week,
think
yeah.
Either the Twins are for real or this division is far from unsettled, and I think I lean towards the latter in that regard. We're at, what, game 44-ish?
We are game 44, game number 22.
There you go. 44 games in. I mean, 40 games is usually the barometer where you look at and say, this is kind of what we have.
Yeah.
So now you can start looking at the team stats. And maybe making projections about what they should do at the trade deadline, things like that. But, you know, I think we're 40 games in, and this is almost a 500 club, and we're starting to see signs of late of what we expected to see. So I think this is far from over. I don't know if the Indians are going to end up with the division, but they're still with, I mean, again, we're talking 40 games, and they're within earshot of the wild card. You know, not that you should focus there, but I think it's far, far too early to write this team off.
Absolutely. And I want to thank Jordan Bashan for doing this live from the Progressive Field dining room where they're not serving pancakes.
It's all in the batter.
It's all in the batter.
It's a good slogan.
We have our best and worst joke of this podcast's brief history. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.